God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. For the next three programs, Dr. Larry Spargimino will be visiting with former British newspaper editor Alan Franklin and his wife, Pat, about valuable information in a new book they've written. The book is entitled Cults and Isms, True or False. Although he's no longer in the newspaper business, Brother Alan and Pat stay abreast of world events and relate them to the Bible. Here now is Brother Larry and his guest, Alan and Pat Franklin.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and greetings to all in our listening audience. Thank you so much, Alan and Pat, for being our guests.
Good to be with you, Larry.
Yes, thank you, Larry. It's nice to be on the phone to you from England.
It's amazing when, you're so far away, but I can see your bright and smiling faces, and we've had so much good fellowship in the past. I know I'm going to enjoy this interview, these three interviews, actually, and so will our listening audience. And we're going to be sharing some very, very important things with them. But let me start and ask, why did you folks write this book dealing with cults and isms?
Well, I can tell you, Larry, it wasn't a labor of love. It wasn't something that we wanted to do because it took many months of research, hundreds of hours of reading through the documents, the foundational documents of the cults and isms. And what happened really was as we went around over the years, we met a lot of people who were completely unclear about what different cults and faiths believed. A lot of people will tell you, for example, that the God of Islam and the God of the Christians is one and the same. And of course, the Lord Jesus and Allah are two separate entities, completely diametrically opposed. And people don't understand this very much. When I became a Christian back in the early 80s, I picked up a book called Cults and Isms. This was by a great man of God called J. Oswald Sanders, and it really stood me in good stead, and I always recommended people to get it, but it's been out of print since, as I understand it, the late 1970s. And we looked around for another book, and we wanted to find something to recommend to people. We decided in the end that a new one needed to be written. A lot of things have changed. A lot of new cults have come into being, gained prominence. Others have faded away. And there's a lot of confusion out there, and God is not a God of confusion, but of sound mind. So we thought, well, our opinion doesn't really count for much, Larry. What really counts is Scripture. So what we did, we went to the foundational books and the statements and the written reports of the cults and the isms, and we set them out, and then we checked it out to see what the Bible taught. And throughout the book, we've got what we call the tables of truth. This was Pat's idea, actually. And one by one, we go to all the false religions, the main ones, set out what they teach, and then we say what the Bible teaches. And clearly, the Bible can answer for itself. It doesn't need us to defend it. The Bible is loud and clear. Its truth rings down through the ages. And the Bible is a wonderful defense for the Bible, if you know what I mean. So we let the Bible speak for itself. We try to keep our own thoughts and comments pretty much out of it. So if anyone wants to pick an argument with us, we just refer them to the Bible and Almighty God and say, well, you better take it up with your Creator. So we've done it to actually clear away a lot of the confusion and enable those who are tempted by false faith to see what they really believe. For example, if a Jehovah's Witness arrives on your doorstep, they will claim to be a Christian, just like you. Is this claim true? Well, we show that it isn't, that they have a different set of beliefs. They use the same kind of terminology, same with Mormonism and so on. But we look at the very big false faith, and I'm afraid we've had to include Roman Catholicism as one of the main ones. And this will be fairly controversial because today Catholicism is regarded as just another Christian denomination, albeit the largest one. Well, we look at what the Catholic Church teaches and set it out against what the Bible says. It's very clear whether or not it's a false faith. And again, we show the Bible to be the truth and the Catholic Church to be preaching falsehood and false doctrine. But one thing I'd like to say before we start, Larry, I don't want to offend people because clearly this is a delicate area. I have emails from a lot of people. I know how people think, and they say, oh, you hate us. Well, this is never true. We are to love those who despitefully use us and love our enemies. Well, we don't regard anyone who's in a false cult or false faith as our enemy. I had an Islamic man email me the other day, and he said, why do you hate Muslims? Well, we do not hate Muslims. We love Muslims. We just really want to shed the light into what they believe and lead them to the Lord Jesus. And that's our sole motivation. We're not doing this for any gain. We're not doing this because we want to be famous or whatever. We're doing it because we want the truth to get out while there's yet time, because it's becoming, as you know, Larry, as a broadcaster, more and more difficult in these politically correct times to broadcast and teach the truth, because we are taught that's being judgmental, and we're not to be judgmental. That's one of the great falsehoods of our day. Well, the Bible says we are to judge. And the whole point of our book is that the Bible itself judges false religions. There's nothing wrong with judging the biblical teachings of anyone. In fact, we're exhorted to do so. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says so. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we're told to test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So often today in churches that are a little bit way out, something supernatural happens and everybody says, oh gosh, it's a movement of God. Well, quite often it's the exact opposite. And we show people how to test these things. You know, Paul commended the brethren in Berea for testing his teachings by the word of God. He commended the noble Bereans. You read about that in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Well, we test all of these things against the word of God, and I can tell you that the cults and isms are found lacking.
Amen. I would certainly agree 100% with you, and as a broadcaster, as an important part of a discernment ministry, we do a lot of this kind of thing, and I do get a lot of criticism, as you do. But I like to use an illustration, which I think would be very, very suitable for you and Pat, as well as for us and for all those who speak the whole counsel of God. You know, supposing I were a medical scientist or a doctor, and I was using the best technology, the most approved techniques of research, and I came to a certain conclusion that, you know, if you have a disease, this is how you must treat it. And then there's somebody else who's kind of a witch doctor and says, no, what you need to do is take the eyeballs of a donkey and grind them up and spit into them, and then let your patient drink it and he'll get better. Well, certainly, as someone knowing the truth, I'm not going to just sit back idly and say, oh yeah, that solution is just as good as my solution. That would be foolhardy. It would be hateful, actually hateful to the patient. So, you know, the Bible is the infallible and inerrant word of God. Oh, and because you love people, and Pat does, and I do, we want them to know the truth. And we're not, like I say, we're trying to get the truth out. And you folks do a marvelous job. But there's one question that I often have people raise, and I wanted to throw it out at you. A lot of people say, well, we know there are all of these cults out there, and some of them are very kooky, but Pat and Alan, wouldn't it be better to just ignore them?
Well, unfortunately, it's not possible. Because,
right. I love the way you say that.
You know, we're told that, you know, we have to contend earnestly for the faith, and Jude told us that in the penultimate chapter of the Bible and the book of the Bible, and we are actually in a position now where we have to deny falsehood, because we have people like Tony Blair and his interfaith movement. We have presidents and prime ministers saying we all pray to the same God. You see, there's a lot of confusion out there. Also, children are taught that there is no absolute truth. Well, of course, there is absolute truth, and it's within Scripture. One of the great satanic ploys today is to abolish this concept of absolute truth. And we find, too, that a lot of these cults and isms, and we touch on things that will surprise some people, like Adventism. I've got a big chapter on Adventism. They are actually pinching the flock. They're taking a lot of our younger people, and there are reasons for all this, because I explain again in the book that the cults and isms leaders, they often speak with great authority. They're wrong. They're wrong about everything. You can actually check, not everything, but most things. You can check their statements and find out where they've gone wrong in their prophecies, for example. But what they don't have is lack of belief in themselves. Our church leaders quite often speak with a very thin, piping little voice. They're not really sure what they believe. They're not even sure if there's a virgin birth in some cases. So they don't give good, clear, biblical leadership. Some do, but most or many of the major denominations don't. They're lukewarm, they're wishy-washy, they're Laodicean. So people today are in a spiritual vacuum. They're looking for spiritual leadership. America's in a mess. Britain's in a mess. We're fast going down the plug hole. So people are looking for guide, for leadership, and they're looking in the wrong places, because a lot of these cults, a lot of these false Christian leaders, because of course there's deception within the church as well as without the church. People masquerading as Christian are quite often not what they claim to be. But they go on TV, they've got a strong message, it's well presented, it's slick. A lot of people are following them. A lot of these cults are picking up many from evangelical churches, Baptist churches, independent Christian churches. You would be surprised the figures, and what we found out as we've done our research, they're picking up a lot of our young people. We found this as we travel around. So I think it's a very timely warning. What is a cult? What is an ism? Why are they wrong? And what does the Bible teach about it all?
We are visiting with Alan and Pat Franklin. We're speaking about their new book. It's really an excellent book. It's entitled Cults and Isms, True or False. Let's interrupt our interview for a moment, and we'll be right back with Alan and Pat. But let's get our announcer, Brother Jerry, to the mic. Brother Jerry, how may our listeners get a copy of Cults and Isms?
To get the 199-page book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go online. The web address is swrc.com. The book will be sent in appreciation of your $15 contribution in the U.S., $16 in Canada. There's much more than you'll hear on the programs this week, so call, write, or go online today for your copy of Cults and Isms, True or False. Here again is Brother Larry.
How do you folks define a cult and ism? What do they have in common? What are some of their characteristics?
They have more in common than you'd imagine, Larry, and the more research to do, sometimes it's absolutely astounding how similar they are, cults that seem quite different. For example, a lot of Roman Catholic teachings, of course, venerate Mary, so does Islam, and I think that Mary is the point of contact between those two main false religions. But some of the marks of a cult, a lot of the actual cults deny the deity of the Lord Jesus. They deny the Trinity. They deny the atoning death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Some of them have the Bible. They use the authorized version in many cases, but they add their own book or books and traditions to the Bible. So their books or their traditions often take precedence over the Word of God. Now, they use the same terminology, again, in many cases. You know, they use words like salvation. They use words like Christian, but they preach a different gospel. Salvation is often not through faith in Christ alone, and salvation is not assured. You have to keep selling their books or going to their services or doing what their leaders say. Now, virtually all of them claim to be the one true church or faith or group. Salvation is not through faith alone, but through them alone. And they usually have a strong leader or leaders, usually men who cannot be challenged. Now, another thing that a lot of them have in common is visions of supernatural beings. Now, these beings are not tested by Bible standards. What they say, what these people have the visions say, people like Ellen White of the Adventists, is just accepted as being from God. Now, they claim to have true prophets who speak direct revelation from God, so no one is allowed to question them. When their prophecies fail, and I've got stacks of stuff in the book about false prophecies by Jehovah's Witnesses and so on, incredible stuff, which we'll read some of it later if we've got time, they don't repent when their prophecies fail. They cover it all up, rewrite history, or find some excuse. Another thing which I found is a common theme is involvement with the occult. In other words, divination. They stare at or through objects until some revelation comes, or else they meditate in an unbiblical way by blanking out their mind, waiting for something to be revealed. This is a trance state where one is open to demonic influence. We're never told to open up our mind in this way because there's no such thing as a vacuum, no such thing as a spiritual vacuum. Something will fill it. This is what happens to some people who get involved in yoga, which is demonic. A lot of people don't realize that. We've got something about yoga in the book. What all this often leads to is immorality among the leadership, because false doctrine often does lead to immorality. In the case of the Roman Catholic Church, we've seen it in the, they've had an explosion of bad publicity in many cases of paedophilia, which we think is probably the tip of the iceberg. Another thing is iron control of members who are never allowed to think for themselves. And there's fear, too. If you leave the one true church, and we were sort of given this implication of a Christian sect at one time, if you leave the one true church, then you could well lose your salvation. We've got a roll of dishonor in the book, you know, Larry, a roll call of some of the false prophets. And as we say, there's no questioning them because their pronouncements come from God. Well, here's Joseph Smith of the Mormons. He left 2 million, by the way, when he died. Ellen G. White of the Seventh-day Adventist, the Baha'u'llah of the Baha'i religion, which is basically Islam minus the violence. Then we come to the Pope, who is considered to speak infallibly with the full authority of God when making official ex cathedra pronouncements to the Roman Catholic Church. There's Buddha of Buddhism, and of course Muhammad of Islam, and also many men and women on religious television who claim to be prophets, people who are, for example, in the Word of Faith movement. And I thought I would just put a little piece in the book. What's the test of a true prophet? Well, what does the Bible say? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Turning to 1 Timothy, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And finally, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And of course, if we read Matthew chapter 24, the Lord is asked by the disciples, well, what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And the first response Jesus gave was a warning about deception. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, the Lord gave this warning about false Christs and prophets three times to show how important it is. That's in Matthew 24, verses 5, 11, and 24. And in verse 24, he warns that these false teachers, the miracle men, will show great signs and wonders, and if it were possible, will deceive even Christians, the very elect. And you know, today, many people are easily deceived, and that's why, again, coming back to why we wrote the book and what we're trying to expose. We're trying to be the watchman on the wall for the electronic age, as Isaiah wrote in chapter 21, verse 6. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And it's our job, and your job, Larry, and you're doing it very well with Southwest Radio Ministries, to actually declare and warn the people of all the falsehood around, because we will be held accountable by the Lord if we don't warn the people, having learned about all this nonsense.
That's so absolutely true, and there are so many areas that we could get into. We only have a few more minutes for the first interview, but you do devote three whole chapters in your book to Roman Catholicism, and many people say that Catholicism is the largest Christian denomination, and I know you dispute that, and I want to get into that a little bit, but also I know that Pat comes from a Roman Catholic background, and we want to give her some time as well, because I know she has some very, I believe, very startling, very important things to share with our listeners.
Oh, well, thank you. Can I say, first of all, that I really, really sought God as to how I could convey to people, you know, what was wrong with the Catholic Church. People will say to me, I was in Israel recently, and someone, a very sort of super intelligent Christian, very strong Christian, said to me, oh, you mustn't claim the Catholic Church is not a Christian church. They accept the deity of Christ. And I said, yes, they say they do, but is he Christ? There is such a thing as another Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, are another gospel. So it's possible to worship another Jesus, thinking you're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not the real Jesus. He's a counterfeit. And I'm afraid that is what Catholics worship, a counterfeit Jesus. He is not the real historical Jesus, because that is why they've always discouraged people from reading the Bible. We never had a Bible when I was growing up. We considered anybody who did have a Bible as very strange indeed, unless it was a big fancy family heritage type Bible that no one read, that just sat there on the coffee table. That was fine. We didn't have one of those because we weren't that well off to have such a fancy book. But the people who, the Catholic Church, as I said, has always discouraged the reading of the Bible. And it wasn't until I was 36 years old, living in England, that I began to read the New Testament for myself. And it just opened my eyes. It was absolutely jaw-droppingly amazing to read the things that, what Jesus was really like, the things he really said, and the real, true, historical Jesus. And I would just challenge every Catholic who is, if any Catholics do listen to this, please get a New Testament, read it for yourself. Find out the real Jesus. The false Jesus is very, very different from the true Jesus. The false Jesus is quite happy if you worship his mother. He's quite happy if you go to a church full of statues. He's quite happy if you kneel down in front of a statue of his mother, if you light a candle to her, if you ask her for help. The true Jesus said, when someone said, mentioned his mother, the true Jesus said, "Who are my mother and my brothers? My mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it." This is the true Jesus. In other words, he was laying down even then. He knew people would be drawn to worship her. And I'm not saying anything against the true historical Mary. She was wonderful. You know, I love her. But she is not the mother of God. She is not to be prayed to. She is not to be worshipped or have candles lit, or you're not to bring her flowers as we used to do, to put them in front of her statue. It's ridiculous.
Well, friends, we are just about out of time, but Pat and Alan, we need to have you come back for a couple more programs.
I think we'd like to talk about Islam next, Larry.
Okay, well, that will be great. Well, Brother Jerry, come to the mic once again and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of this most excellent book, Cults and Isms, True or False.
Thanks, Brother Larry. The number to call for the book is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or visit the website at swrc.com. The 199-page book is offered for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $16 in Canada. No doubt you've run into some of the cults and may have wished you knew more about them. If so, Cults and Isms, True or False, is a book you'll definitely want in your library, not to look at, but to read. Brother Alan and Sister Pat give Christians a summary of the cults you are likely to encounter. You may also want the three programs in this series. They are offered for a contribution of $17 in the U.S., $18 in Canada, on CD or cassette tape. To get the book, the programs, or both, call 1-800-652-1144, write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. Be sure to join us tomorrow when Brother Larry and the Franklins continue talking about cults and isms on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News Report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. With today's report, here is board member Jerry Tyson.
Those who do not know history are destined to repeat it. Prior to World War II, Jews were accused of all manner of crimes against the people of the nations where they had been scattered. Currently, several Ukrainian websites claim Israel has stolen 25,000 Ukrainian children over the past 2 years in order to harvest their organs. A visit to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, will clearly show that it was the other way around. The website, www.forzion.com, December 9, 2009, carried the story of a claim made at a pseudo-academic conference in Kiev in early December that is the latest expression of a wave of anti-Semitism in the country. It follows a few months after a Swedish tabloid ran an article alleging that Israeli Defense Force soldiers have killed Palestinian civilians for their organs. Current Ukrainian presidential candidates have been making the defamation of Jews and Israel key points in their campaigns. One told the estimated 3,000 attendees of the Kiev conference a detailed story about a Ukrainian man's fruitless search for 15 children who had been adopted in Israel. The children, the man said, had clearly been taken by Israeli medical centers where they were used for spare parts. He said it was essential that all Ukrainians be made aware of the genocide Israel was perpetrating. The conference, some of whose participants belong to a Slavic rights movement, also featured two professors who presented a book blaming the Zionists for the Ukrainian famine of the 1930s, as well as the country's current condition. Anti-Semitism is an international epidemic, bound to become worse as we approach the return of Christ. Satan has had a huge problem with the Jews. They are proof of the reality of the God of the Bible. In Genesis 12, we have the promise to Abraham, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed," verses 2 and 3. This article in no way infers that all Jews have been good and righteous, but the proof is clear that this small nationality proportionately has been responsible for scientific, medical, literary, and inventive genius far beyond any other ethnic group. The world has been blessed because of the Jew. America has been blessed because we have been the friend of Israel. If that stops, it will not be well for America. The enemies of Israel have sided with the enemies of the God of heaven.
That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published each month in a booklet. To get a complimentary copy of that booklet, call, write, or visit our website. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or visit the website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.